the second.
We're going to head into our sermon time here. And yes, I am actually walking down this way. And I haven't gotten lost or anything like that. I thought what I would do today is do something just a little bit different here. And it isn't because it's Trinity Sunday. It is Trinity Sunday, but that's not why I'm here. And it isn't particularly about this being the best or the worst. I kind of think that the subject matter of the sermon today might be a little bit difficult for doing this. But I am here and I want to address you on a really very, very important sermon. Our sermon text comes from Isaiah chapter 6, and the title of the sermon is, Are You a Seer? I think I have that right. Are you a seer? And we're going to explore what a seer is. It isn't a whole lot different than a prophet, but seer is biblical language, and it does refer to someone who's a prophet. But more important than that, I'm using it in a way that is common in English, meaning you see something, and you continue to see something. It wasn't someone who was a, I saw that only, not seer, but someone who is in a continuous sense. But it is more than that. It's someone who, in the Old Testament times, people would go to if they had a question. They wanted to inquire about God. God, what are you doing in the world? And so a seer was someone who walked with God and continued to walk with God, and someone who experienced God, someone who was familiar with God. For them, God wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't a walk the aisle, raise your hand, or sign a card, or something like that, or I prayed when I was in Sunday school. A seer was someone who knew God and walked with God continually, and Isaiah was one of them. And we're going to see that seers are all over the Bible. I hope to see that we all are seers. And so, when I ask, are you a seer, I'm asking, are you continuing to experience God? Are you continuing to walk with Him? And we're going to end this sermon, and actually have an emphasis in this sermon, in a way such that there are times in our life where it's really, really easy to be a seer, meaning, oh, I'm enjoying God here, life's going just great. But Isaiah actually opens with a clause we're going to look at. We really won't get to this till at least halfway through, maybe at the end. But the circumstances under which we see Isaiah having this tremendous vision, and our sermon text is starting with the vision that we had in Isaiah chapter 6 that Peter read for us. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. That first clause, it's not just a historical marker. A historical marker is important, but it's far more important than that. So I want to know is, can you be a seer like Isaiah? Meaning, can you deal with not only the good times in life, but the thick and thin and the hard times in life and still experience God? Having not quit on Him because He hasn't quit on you. Can you continue to walk with Him, be faithful to Him, even though the worst thing imaginable may have happened in your life? And maybe it happened just recently, or maybe it happened many, many years ago. But are you walking with God in spite of it? Are you walking with God in the midst of it? Are you walking with God in the aftermath of it? Maybe you're walking with God because of it. There are a whole bunch of people I know that they would never want to go through something that they went through before. But many, many years later, they find out that, you know what, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I came to know the Lord through that. My friend Tom Clark was someone who didn't come to know the Lord through his cancer diagnosis. But he would say that spiritually and ministerially, as a minister, it was the best thing that ever happened to him. His terminal cancer diagnosis. He continued to walk with God. He would continue to be a seer. I know that his wife, Yo, listens to some of these sermons on the internet. So, Yo, if you're listening, somewhere out there in cyberspace tonight or tomorrow, I did not say that the cancer diagnosis was the best thing on earth that ever happened to him. You are the on earth that ever happened to him. You, yo. The best thing that happened to him ministerially was his cancer diagnosis. He remained faithful to God. He remained experiencing God, being a seer, walking with God. In greater intimacy to that horrific event. So, here's Isaiah. Did we get a look at that verse? We did. Great. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. That's Isaiah's testimony. We're going to go into this whole vision here. It's a glorious, glorious vision. But I don't want to forget the fact that we had lectionary readings. And I want us to see, though, that the lectionary readings actually support this idea that we are to have a continuing walk with God. Because first of all, as we look at this, this is chapter 6. And yes, there are scholars, Harold debates here, but this is not Isaiah's initial vision, or his initial call, or the first time he started walking with God, or the first time he was a seer. No, it was a follow-up step. Only in large part because Uzziah came to die. Okay. Our other lectionary readings included Romans. And Romans chapter 8 and 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This means that to be a Christian means we continue to walk with Him. Again, it's not about a one-time event at Sunday school or something that happened 50 years ago. Who are the people who are the sons of God? Those who are walking in the Spirit. Those who are seers. Continuing to experience the life of God and the work of God in their life. So Isaiah had a follow-up, a secondary, if you will, experience with God. Romans is telling us that, hey, this is a continuous, long-term thing that we all are supposed to go through. And then, obviously, our gospel lesson from John 3 was about Nicodemus. And, you know, if you're looking for something that talks about the fact that there's a beginning point, here it is, right? Except the man born again, you cannot see. So this idea of seeing has an initiated, an initial, it has a beginning. It has something that has some subsequent steps, like Isaiah is experiencing. And Romans 8 tells us that it's perpetual. We are always to walk with God. So our lectionary kind of covers the same kind of thing anyway. Well, let's get back to seer here again. I think we're going to go to 1 Samuel here in chapter 9. And here's this definition. Where did I get this idea of a seer from? I get this idea of a seer from right here. It kind of means a prophet. But someone who experiences God as a seer and continues to walk with God, experiencing Him. Formerly in Israel, by the way, this is an interesting verse. It's a verse in the Bible where the whole verse is just one parenthesis. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God and said, come, let us go to the seer. For today's prophet was formerly called the seer. Raise your hand if you were here last Sunday. Okay, hands down. The title of the sermon was, are you among the prophets? And we talked about the fact that was Pentecost Sunday. We talked about the fact that if the Spirit comes upon you, then you will be a prophet. What I'm asking you today is, when I ask, are you a seer? I'm asking you if you're a prophet. But a prophet in the sense that the Holy Spirit is upon you, and we saw it on Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes upon people, they prophesy. They speak God's judgment to the culture. They will bless those that need blessing. They will curse. They will convict those that need conviction. Curse is a little too strong. We leave that for God. Vengeance is mine. Conviction and assurance. Are you doing that work? And is that a continuing work? Or have you just kind of given up and kind of coasting through the rest of your life? Okay? But here we see, that's where the idea of seer comes. So a seer is a prophet, but I'm using it also. I want to make sure that I do everything I can to make sure each one of us are continuing to walk. Okay? And so this idea of continuing, I think, is what our next verses are. And I think this one is, no, I don't want to go to that one right yet. We'll get back to that one. Let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 16. We saw that one. Okay? John 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, King James Version, whosoever believes. Let's remember the tense of this. It does not say whosoever believes. The present tense. This idea of being a seer, continuing on with God, is not about what you did when you were five. It's what you're doing today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, present tense, should not perish. God wants us to be continuing. The next verse that we have here tells us another interesting component to all of this. Is I'm trying to put this puzzle piece together here. Jesus said to her, "Did not I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" What I'm doing here is I'm connecting the idea of belief with seeing. Are you a seer? Are you a believer? If you are a believer who is continuing to believe, you will be a seer who continues to see. That's the connection. God called us to be those who are continuing to believe. That means we are to be continuing to be seers. And by the way, anybody tell me the background of this story? John 11. Please don't just tell me that Jesus wept. Please don't be more than that. Yeah.
The resurrection with Martha. When he said, "Do you believe what she had said, that we knew you would come to save us? And, we know you could heal him now, but you waited for him for a while."
Let me summarize for you. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. Right? That's the guy we're talking about. Okay, think about it again. In the early kingdom of my God, again, a difficult circumstance where Jesus says, "Look, you need to be seeing beyond this. You need to be seeing beyond this. You need to be seeing in spite of this, in the midst of this, in the aftermath of it, or maybe because of this, you're continuing to see." Okay, so we've worked our way through that. I think it's probably now time to turn to Isaiah and chapter 6 here. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne." Isaiah is having this vision here. And this vision is something that, again, wasn't his initial vision. Okay, is the next verse 1:1? Is that right, or did I miss that? I probably messed you all up with this. I'm sorry? 1 through 8. Okay.
You want 1:1?
Actually, I want to look at 1:1 for just a second. Then we'll go there. Because we can't forget to mention that the prophecy of Isaiah begins in 1:1. "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah." So again, and I know why I missed that one earlier. This is an episode in Isaiah's life, not the very beginning of his prophecy here in chapter 6. He ministered under Uzziah, only for a little while, likely, but he ministered there. But his calling spanned this whole time. And his beginning of his prophecy began before Uzziah died. His ministry started before Uzziah had died. Okay, let's go back over to John now. The next verse that I had there. Oh, dear. I usually do notes back. Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is where the vision proper is. And the vision proper is just this glorious, glorious vision. We get so much from this. He sees the glory of God. Let's go right through this whole thing here with these verses here. "The year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He's sitting upon the throne. He's high. He's lifted up. And there's these angels are there. There's this glory there. His train fills the temple." The meaning of that is there's no room left there for any other object or person to be worshipped. That's the meaning. He fills the place. And the angels are there, and they are calling. They're above, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And by the way, there's some overtones here of Trinity, right? Holy, holy, holy. Not explicitly Trinitarian theology, but you know what? Some overtones there. By the way, when you get to the end where it says, "The voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" That's not explicit in the Hebrew either, as it this Trinity Sunday. And we see in this vision that the foundations were shaking and the house was filled with smoke, because what's happening in this vision is Isaiah is seeing that something cataclysmic is taking place. When you see smoke in the temple, there's a changing of the guard. We're going to get to what Uzziah's death was all about, but this is a changing of the guard. The smoke fills the temple, so we see that. Very, very important. We see that he understands that he needs to be clean. He's humble. Woe is me. I'm a man who is lost. I have unclean lips. The culture's gone down the tubes. They're having unclean lips. And one of the reasons I can see so clearly who I am is because I see clearly who God is. That's part of the picture here. But then we also see sanctification here, because the seraphim comes to him and touches his lips, and there's sanctification there. And it's just this fantastic, glorious vision. But it's also a vision that is messianic. What do I mean by that? It's talking to us about Jesus. How do I know that? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw Adonai. That's the Hebrew word. Lowercase, you see that? If it was all caps, you would know that the Bible writer is trying to communicate to you that that's Jehovah. The name of the Lord God. This is Adonai, the ruler, the supreme ruler. Isaiah sees Adonai, not Jehovah. Well, if we go over into the New Testament, we go to John, and we see John chapter 12. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. What John is telling us is that this vision that Isaiah had was a vision of Jesus. How do we know this further? We know this further because if we look at the previous verse here in John, he has blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Well, if we look at that and we compare that to Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, this is the ministry that Isaiah was doing. Nobody's going to listen. Everything's just going to get worse. It's going to fall apart. You're going to have zero success in your ministry. That's exactly what was happening with Isaiah. That's exactly what was happening with Jesus. But Isaiah is talking about Jesus. And again, the setting of this great vision is a really, really difficult time and circumstance. Now I think we can go back to Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, let me start off this week. Last week when we talked about modern Pentecostalism. And it's going to detach from reality. Here's a historical marker. It's going to be more than that, but it's a historical marker. It's tethered to reality. So whatever else Isaiah is doing here, he is exercising a biblical, non-Gnostic Pentecostalism. This was a real event. You know, I know folks in the Pentecostal movement, and their prophecies, their visions are completely detached from reality. This is not the case here. He's tethered to what's going on. What's going on in your life? To what's going on in my life? What was going on in his life? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. That's where it starts. Don't dismiss what the meaning of that clause is. Uzziah, this was an earthquake for Israel. Uzziah was one who wasn't perfect. He had transgressions. He ended up getting leprosy. Had trouble. Nonetheless, he was a very good king. Very few of them. And he did great things. And he ruled and he reigned for 52 years. There was progress.
There was glory that hadn't been seen since the time of King Solomon in terms of peace and progress and prosperity. And this was true at home, domestically, and with the foreign countries all around. For 52 years, King Uzziah was holding it together. Israel seemed to be at least outwardly fulfilling its calling in the world to be this queen of the nations here, this splendid group. But King Uzziah dies. Part of what God is communicating to us here is that even though somebody as great and grand as that dies, passes away, is no more, he is still on the throne. I'm sure you have some things in your life that may represent you died. And they're wrong. Do you still see God on the throne? Do you still see God in a glorious way? Are you still trusting him? Are you still walking with him? This was a national catastrophe. Israel virtually died as a nation with Uzziah died. And yet Isaiah says, you know what? What we're all about, community of faith, it's not a vision. And it certainly isn't one yet.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. This was a national catastrophe, and yet all Isaiah sees, and I read for you the vision, Isaiah sees hope, he sees the future, he sees God, he sees God's glory.
There's a historian, one of our church fathers, named Roman, and he did some work on this passage, and he was able to discover that coincidentally, Romulus was born this year, about 740 BC. Romulus, the guy that the Roman Empire was named after. And within several years, so what we see here is God is doing something. No wonder there's a changing of the God. No guard. No wonder there's smoke in the temple. God is doing something. And you know what? As a national institution, Israel, bye-bye. But that doesn't mean bye-bye to God. It doesn't mean God has changed at all. This was a national catastrophe for Israel. The idea that Uzziah would die. When the worst thing happens, can you still see God? Can you still walk with him? Can you still trust him? What about when the worst thing happens? You know, we're doing some macrocosmic, the nation, the economy's bad, the stock market collapses. Perhaps we had a great president for 52 years and he died. Let's bring this a little closer. There's good reason to believe that this was not only a catastrophe for Israel, this was a catastrophe for Isaiah. There's good reason to believe that Isaiah knew Uzziah very, very well. Matter of fact, most of the tradition, most of the research we have shows that they were cousins. Their fathers were brothers. Isaiah obviously is a lot younger. But when Uzziah dies, this is a personal tragedy for Isaiah.
Can you pull up the reference there also from 2 Chronicles 26?
Because Isaiah was not only his cousin, but he was a chronicler. He was the guy who wrote the memoir. I mean, he was close. He was his right-hand man.
It says the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, wrote.
He was the guy who wrote his book. Near to him, close to him, this is a personal disaster for him. So here you have not only this national catastrophe symbolizing that God is doing something radically different with our country, something that we couldn't foresee, we don't really want to have happen. And this is a disaster for me, but he still sees this great vision. So when the worst happens, in a macro way,
Will you still walk with him? Will you still trust him? Will you still be a seer? I think it was Spurgeon who said that the pages of Scripture never burn more brightly than in the furnace of the lips. Work for went bankrupt. I was divorced. The house burned down. I'm not able to drive anymore. I have to move into a nursing home. Fill in that blank for you. Fill in that blank for you. In the year that such and such happened, you were betrayed. Can you still see God? Will you still walk with him? Will he burn even more brightly? Can you see God in the midst of Can you see God in it? Can you see God in the aftermath of it? For some of us, I think the answer also is that you can see God because of it. This is the vision that Isaiah has.
And it's a biblical Pentecostalism that is tethered to earth, because God deals with us as human beings. And we all have something in that blank. And if we haven't had it yet, we will. Where there is a catastrophe, maybe national, maybe personal, I don't know what it's going to be. If I went around this room, I'd get a different answer from everybody here. Yes, the pages of Scripture do burn more brightly when we are in the furnace of affliction.
But Isaiah is someone who fulfills what our lectionary readings were talking about. Someone who had begun a work with God, was born again. Someone who had episodes during life, whether they were mountaintop or tragedies like this one, where they had a fresh vision from God. And Isaiah was someone who, like what we read about in Romans 8, where it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I want to encourage you to be a seer. A seer just like Isaiah. Not identical. Uzziah's not going to die in your life. But when you filled in that blank with whatever it is, that did happen to you. And it may happen to you still yet ahead. But be a seer like Isaiah. Not identical, but similar. Walk with him. Trust in him. See him in those episodes. And continue to worship him. Continuing to cry out, holy, holy, holy. Father God in heaven, you are good to us, and Lord, we thank you for the work of your Spirit, which has a starting point in our life that comes upon us in very special times, especially as we need it, and the work your Spirit is that which Jesus promised would abide within us, and that we would walk in all of our days. Father, help us to be seers, continuing to see, continuing to experience you, continuing to walk with you. Lord, we ask that you would make it so. And we thank you, Lord God, for this great, great example of the prophet Isaiah. In Jesus' name.